Morning. It's good to see you all. I welcome you to this worship service. I also thank the Lord that I'm here at this worship service. As you, I think, know from prayer items, Barb and I have spent the last week plus in Florida. Barbara's still there with her parents, her mother in particular. Has been in and out of the hospital more than once this week, and it appears she's ready to be in a hospice program, but she had to go back in the hospital because she wasn't physically able, because of some internal bleeding, to start the program where she's currently residing. And she's still in the hospital. Her hemoglobin count had gotten down to 7, which is pretty low, about half of what I think is considered to be normal, if I remember rightly. I know when I was got down as low as 8 when I had an ulcer a number of years ago that I was a total wreck, but she seemed to be handling it better than I did. But they did give her a transfusion finally yesterday, and we're hoping that the blood count comes back up so that the bleeding is stopped, because that's a kind of a prerequisite for her to be in the hospice program. The one that we would like her to be in. So if you're wondering how to pray, that would be the way to pray, that mom's blood count would improve quickly, and then she'd be able to get back. And then Barbara will, once that all happens, she'll feel, I think, that she's able to come home for a bit. And I would like that as well. I waited till the last minute, got a flight on American Airlines through Dallas, and then 2 hours before I was going to go to the airport, got a text saying, your flight's delayed 3 hours in Tampa. Don't know about connections to be made, but it worked out. I was able to get here via Philadelphia instead of Dallas, and got in, got home about 11 o'clock last night. So I am delighted to be back with my family here. It was actually a very good time with family. In Florida as well. Barb's parents, her brother, and his wife are there now. Our sons, at different times of the week, came down as well. So I'm here. I hope I'm ready to preach, and I welcome you to this service in the name of our triune God. There are announcements on the back of the bulletin. We have church school classes, follow our worship service. Tonight is the second Sunday of the month. We meet at John and Angie Heinemann's home for time of praise and prayer here in Longmont. So that's 5 o'clock if you can join us. They would love to have you there at their home. We do have scheduled, although my travel schedules have really kind of discombobulated our midweek Bible study, but we are planning on Wednesday evening to continue our study of the Psalms, 7 o'clock. Also, our men's study meets on Saturday mornings at 7 a.m. Under the other items, the annual Memorial Day picnic is going to be 2 weeks from tomorrow here in Longmont at Sandstone Creek Park, which is down along the 119, just east of town, where we've been doing it for a number of years now. We hope that you'll come and invite others that you might know that have no particular plans that day. It's always a good time of fellowship. Also, volunteers. We've gotten some feedback. We're looking for more as a session to plan for our hosting of Midwest Presbytery later this year. But there's a lot of things to be decided pretty soon. So if you'd like to help out with that, let us know. And the directory announcement is self-explanatory. We've also communicated and responded to requests from Geneva College, particularly the new song Ministry of Geneva College. It's a small group of singers who represent the college and tour during summer months. They are going to be in Colorado, and we told them that we would be happy to have a concert here. We think it is going to be on the Monday or Tuesday evening just before the 4th of July. So July 2nd or 3rd, I think it is. So put that on your calendar. It's always a really good program that they put on, and that they also tell us a little bit about Geneva College, which is the college of the Reformed Presbyterian Church located in Beaver Falls, Pennsylvania. So there'll be much more to come about that. Did I miss anybody's birthday or anniversary? I did. In the old directory, I found none, but there may now be, as we update the directory, there may be somebody that we'll be adding. Okay. Birthday-wise, May is a terrible month until we get to the last week or so, and then we have a whole bunch of late May birthdays. I just know that because I'm one of them, but... Are there other announcements need to be before us? Our elder Mark McDaniel is with his daughter Christy and her family in Texas for a time. Jeff and Eileen are in Casper, Wyoming. Jeff is a provisional elder in Casper, and in light of their change with the resignation of their pastor, different elders are planning to go up there once a month to spend time with the congregation and with the McCracken family, and that's what Jeff and I think are doing this weekend. Let's just take a minute to ask the Lord to prepare us in a final way for worship. Amen. Let's begin using Psalm 34. We will use selection A as we start our service. We will use selection C at the conclusion of our service. Let's stand to sing. We'll sing the three stanzas of Psalm 34, selection A, and remain standing for prayer.
La 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 la. At all times I will bless the Lord, giving praise my mouth and glory. My soul is boasting in the Lord, the whole world hear with joy. Oh, glorify the Lord with me, let us praise all.
Father in heaven, we come here as we do each week to worship you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We come acknowledging that you and you alone are worthy of our worship, deserving of it, because you are the eternal God. You are the creator of the universe in which we live. You are the redeemer of your people. through the gift that you gave to us, whose name is Jesus Christ. And you are the one who even now guides and directs us in our lives by your Spirit, who dwells in those who are among those who are being saved, those who are called Christians, those who are called believers. And Lord, we thank you for the gift of faith that you have given to us, and we thank you now for the opportunity to bow down before you in worship, to prepare to serve you well in the week to come. And we pray that this time together will be an impetus to that, that we might find refreshment in you, that we might find help and encouragement and support from your word of truth and from your people. And that as we do so, we will, with renewed vigor, go forth to serve in our labors, at our workplaces, in our schools, in our homes, in our communities. We pray that as we do so, that others will see and will hear the good news of Jesus and will come to faith as well. And that as that happens, both here and around the world, you will continue to build your church. Lord, we thank you for this one day in seven that you have given to us, claiming it as your own and yet saying that it was made for us. And so we pray that we will find the refreshment and the rest and the worship of you that will sustain us and that will guide and direct us and help us in the week to come. Lord, be with those that can't be here with us today. Wherever they are, bless them. Particularly pray for my wife, Barbara, as she continues to labor out of love for her mom and her dad in Florida. And Father, we just pray that you will keep all of these folks safe as they travel elsewhere. Bring them back safely. If they're sick, heal them. If they're struggling, deal with their needs that have caused those struggles. And Father, we pray that you will continue to build your church among us as we tell others about the good news of our Lord and Savior Jesus. So bless us as we come. May all that we do be acceptable in your sight, and to the glory and honor of our Savior, whose name is Jesus, King and head of his church. And it is in his name that we come, in his name that we worship, in his name that we pray. Amen. Please be seated. And now you need to help me deal with a logistical problem. I used to have three sons at home that helped me to solve such things, but we have a unison reading from the Gospel of Mark in the New American Standard Bible. I had it all ready to print out, and it would not print. It simply would not, and I was not able to figure out how to do that. In your pews, there are some darker blue Bibles that are New American Standard Bibles. So if you don't have one of your own, if you could find one of those, that would really, really help. We also have red Bibles that are New International Version. We also have some other versions. Kind of our congregation's way of saying that there's no particular translation that we feel is the absolutely authorized one. There's one in the back if anybody's still needing one. It's not a long reading. Well, I found that unison readings and responsive readings tend to work much better when everybody's using the same translation. So, are we ready? And this is one of our texts for our Mother's Day today. So, let's read from Mark chapter 7. We will begin in verse 6, where the he there is Jesus. So, let's read together. And he said to them, "Rightly did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites, as it is written, 'This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men. Neglecting the commandment of God, you hold to the tradition of men.' He was also saying to them, 'You are experts at setting aside the commandment of God in order to keep your tradition. For Moses said, "Honor your father and your mother," and he who speaks evil of his father or mother is to be put to death. But you say, If a man says to his father or his mother, whatever I have that would help you is korban, that is to say, given to God, you no longer permit him to do anything for his father or his mother, thus invalidating the word of God by your tradition which you have handed down, and you do many things such as that. We'll conclude our reading at that point. Let's sing again from Psalm 113. We'll use the tune in selection A. Psalm 113 is a great psalm of comfort and a reminder that God is the one who champions those who are struggling, those who are oppressed in all kinds of different ways. It's said in the scripture that there are three classes of dependent people. People that in Old Testament times and in Bible times depended on others in order for their very survival, and those were the widows and the orphans and the strangers or the aliens, those who would come in from other places. And Psalm 113 speaks to all of these kinds of folks, and it particularly speaks of the blessing of motherhood, and that's why I thought we would sing that this morning. So let's stand again to sing the five stanzas, Psalm 113.
Blah, blah, blah. Praise the Lord's name, praise the Lord, praise Him, servants of the Lord. May the Lord's name bless and be now and truly for
to the Lord our tithes and offerings at this time. It's our practice after the offering to pray together and to provide opportunity for any that might come with items that they'd like us to pray about, to pray aloud so that we can pray with you about those things. There are also suggestions of prayer items on the back of the bulletin. But a lot of requests that have come up in the last week or so, last couple of weeks, concerning many that we know outside of the congregation with health issues and other issues. Some of them are on the bulletin. Some of them are not. Some of them have been on and are now off, but that doesn't mean they're any less important for our prayer. So we have time now to do what God says we should always be doing, praying unceasingly. And the Lord is pleased to accomplish His sovereign will as He answers the prayers of His people. So let's go to Him in prayer, and I'll close at the end. Let's pray. Father, You are the Almighty God, which means You are strong enough to answer our prayers. You are the all-knowing God, which means that You know and we know that You already know our needs, but You are pleased as a father to hear His children ask Him to help, and so we do. You are the God who is everywhere, Lord, and so we can pray for people all around this world, wherever they are, in whatever situation they are, knowing that they are not outside of Your watchful care. And so, Lord, we pray to You and ask You to hear our prayers. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this opportunity to pray, and our hearts and our prayers go out for the Casper congregation, for Sam and Julie McCracken, as their time as Sam's time as pastor comes to a close soon. We just pray that you will guide and direct the McCracken family, but you will also guide and direct the congregation as they seek one who would come and serve them as their next pastor. We pray for Jeff and the members of the session as they minister to the congregation, as it's hurting in many ways at this time about these things. And we just ask you to hear our prayers for them and to glorify yourself in that congregation and all of its members and friends. We pray for James and Melissa as they are with the family up in Idaho for Evan's graduation. We just pray that you will bless the safety in traveling. And we pray that you will bless in the interactions that they will have with others up there, particularly the family of a girl that evidently Evan is interested in, and that always can be a touchy thing. We just pray that you will give them grace and help them to rejoice in this milestone in his life. And we pray for all of our students who are completing their school years soon and are graduating. We pray that you will bless them too and guide and direct them as they move forward in their lives. Lord, we also ask you to continue to get things going with the Guardian Ministry, and that you will bless Jonathan and Barry and others that are involved in that, that it might yet do some very good things in promoting righteousness in our land and in our world. Father, we just thank you so much for being our God, for caring for us, for bearing our burdens with us, especially when those burdens sometimes become almost too difficult to bear. And I do thank you for the way that you've been helping us and our family dealing with Barb's parents, and just pray that you will continue to glorify yourself as it appears you are getting ready to call her mother out of this life into the next. And Lord, we just pray that before that happens, that we will have an assurance that Naomi Socha knows you and remembers the faith of her upbringing and her baptism in Kentucky. And we just ask you now to accomplish your will in their lives, even as we pray for all those for whom we pray and labor and agonize, who seem to be away from you, far from you, that you will call them into your presence. You will call them to the foot of the cross of the Lord Jesus, that his blood might heal them and save them. And so, Father, we ask you to go with us in this coming week, and that may all that we do, all that we think, all that we say, may all of those things be glorifying to you, and may they have impact for good on the world around us. For we ask these things in Christ's name. Amen. Turn to Psalm 128, Selection A. Psalms 127 and 128 speak of family founded upon God in Christ and committed to his service. And We're going to sing about that on this Mother's Day. We'll use the four stanzas here of Selection A of Psalm 128. Let's stand the same. Be reading just a few short scriptures, and I'm going to be starting back in Exodus, going into the New Testament in Colossians. And so if you want to try to follow along, if not, you can just listen to these verses. They all have a common theme, which I think will be evident. First is Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, where God's word says, "Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you." And then in chapter 21 of Exodus, verse 17, "He who curses his father or his mother shall surely be put to death." Leviticus chapter 19, verse 3, "Every one of you shall reverence his mother and his father, and you shall keep my Sabbath. I am the Lord your God." And then in the writings of the Apostle Paul in the New Testament, in Ephesians chapter 6, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise, so that it may be well with you and that you may live long on the earth." And then in Colossians chapter 3, verse 20, a parallel to the Ephesians passage, "Children, be obedient to your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing to the Lord." I'm going to conclude our reading at that point. Today's sermon title is another Mother's Day sermon. That means it has a question mark after it. I've been preaching since 1981. And I missed 1981 because I was ordained in June. But since then, I think every year I've done that. This past week has been totally a discombobulated week for me. A week ago Friday, afternoon, we found out that Barbara's mother was taken to the hospital with difficulty breathing. We were very concerned. We caught a red eye that night. The discombobulation continued because in our haste to leave, I left my briefcase at home with my computer and all of my charging cords and all of my books except my Bible, which I packed in my suitcase mainly because it doesn't fit very well in my briefcase. So I was going to be there with the idea of perhaps be home on Monday, but that turned out not to be the case, and so I had to work my work without a computer, which was fun. Although I do have a new computer. It's called a cell phone. I got a new one recently, but it really doesn't work well with those of us that can't see and other such things without glasses. And so my Mother's Day sermon was kind of going around up here, but I remembered, and I looked it up when I got home, that back on May 11, 2003, which would have been shortly after this congregation started, I preached a Mother's Day sermon, which essentially was entitled, "Should Preachers Preach Mother's Day Sermons?" Question mark. And you're going to have to wait to see what the answer was. But anyway, that gave me during this past week some thoughts about revisiting some of those things, which is what I am doing today. Also got a spelling and grammar lesson this week because I have been one of the grammatical purists that, even though I do make all kinds of mistakes, I like not to, and I get frustrated, more frustrated with other people who make mistakes than I do. And so for me, when I thought about another Mother's Day sermon, I spelled, how do you think I spelled mothers? S apostrophe. And I've done that because there's lots of mothers, and the day is for lots of mothers, so it should be S apostrophe, right? But then I saw other places where it was apostrophe S. People that I used to ridicule from a distance and other such things until I looked it up on this thing called the internet and found out that the person, Anna, I forgot her last name, Jarvis or something like that, who was the driving force behind the creation of Mother's Day, wanted it to be apostrophe S so that we would all be focused on our individual mothers, and there was a big discussion and deal about that. It's amazing the kind of things that the doors of the internet can open in terms of controversy. And so I think I have correctly now have Mother's Day spelled properly. And then I also wanted to just speak about this preacher's pastoral preaching practice, which is when there are things on our calendars that people take notice of, if that creates an opportunity for the gospel, then it, in my view, is something that we ought to take full advantage of. So this sermon is another Mother's Day sermon, and question mark, and I'm going to say yes, it is, and then I'm just going to tell you where we're going to get at the end. I'm going to say yes, it is, but I wanted to start, as I did back in 2003, with some reasons to end this preacher's pastoral preaching practice. First of all, I am a minister in the Reformed Presbyterian Church of North America. We are Reformed and Presbyterian. We have our Reformation history among the Swiss and the Dutch and the Scottish reformers, the likes of John Calvin and John Knox and others. And in general, that branch of the Christian church does not make a big deal out of special days. And so we are probably one of the things many of us, when we came into this church from other churches, said, "Oh, you don't have a Christmas service?" And my answer is going, "Well, yeah, we do, and Christmas is on Sunday. But and you don't have a big Easter service, well, yeah, we're the resurrection's great, and yet we believe that one day in every seven, all year long, we're celebrating the resurrection of Christ in our worship services. So we tend to not do these things, and there are probably many RP pulpits today where there are not going to be Mother's Day sermons. Second reason maybe not to do it is that Hallmark cards does not dictate the church calendar, and yet they have tried to do that in many ways. I've limited myself to Mother's Day and Father's Day, even though there are Grandparents' Day and probably Aunts and Uncles' Day. I'm not planning to change my practice anytime soon. I'm limiting it at good old Mom and Dad and leaving it there. Thirdly, we do believe that in worship and in the preaching, that at the center of that must be the Lord Jesus Christ. And certainly I am absolutely committed to that. And fourthly, we must be careful not to ignore some by magnifying others. And so we don't want to be preaching specific sermons for all different special classes of people all the time, because we'll leave everybody else out. I'm planning to have a little fun with this sermon, okay? The Word of God is fun, even though sometimes it's tough fun, but it's a joy to deal with these things. And so there might be some other reasons. I think one of them, and I've had people come to me, and I understand this, I've had people in congregations that I've pastored over the years that simply do not come to church on Mother's Day or Father's Day because their relation with their own mothers or fathers, whether it be a really strong bond that brings back emotions or whether it be a very fractured bond where they had very bad experiences with their parents, that they just almost got too much for them to bear, and so they didn't want to be reminded of these things. Folks have talked to me over the years, and I have some of these experiences myself, where when we look back and think about our mothers, think about our fathers, we don't always have the fondest of memories. It could be a mixed bag, and sometimes there's painfulness associated as well. And I want to be sympathetic to those things and to not make lightly of them. And yet, I move forward in Roman number 2 to talk about reasons for this pastor's pastoral preaching practice. First three reasons, a little less seriously. First of all, we should not ignore mothers because there are lots of them around. And so as soon as I diss moms, I'm going to alienate 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, future 6, 7, probably 8. You get the point, right? Okay. Secondly, we have William Wallace's poem. And if you're wondering about that, this is a Scottish-American writer who wrote a little poem called "The Hand That Rocks the Cradle is the Hand That Rules the World." And we might say that with a little bit tongue-in-cheek, and yet I never read that poem until this week. And there's one phrase in there, and I had it written down, and it's, I left my briefcase when I went to Florida. I left some of my notes when I came to church this morning. It's been one of those weeks. But it essentially talks in a very poetic way about what a mother does as she continues to speak the things of God to her children. That was a perspective that if mothers aren't doing that, what impact might we have on our children? And then thirdly, mothers are necessary. And I didn't say a necessary evil. I didn't say a necessary good there. No, but mothers are necessary. Where would any of us be without our mother? But more seriously, the scriptures teach us that mothers have a place of blessing and of honor We have the fifth commandment that speaks to both mothers and to fathers and to children of mothers and fathers, that we are to honor our fathers and our mothers. And the scripture says that's the commandment that had a promise associated with it, that things will go well and that God's blessings will come. And there's a tie to the way in which we treat our parents, and the way in which the parents treat their children, that open up those doors of blessing and honor. The scripture speaks of the bearing of children as a gift from God and a blessing of God. And we have in the book of Genesis, and you can look up some of these verses, but we have women who could not bear children and then later on were able to bear children as a sign of God's blessing and answers to prayer. We have in 1 Samuel 1 a woman who was not able to have children named Hannah, and the testimony there of her faithfulness before God and her prayers, and God ultimately answering those prayers, and she gave birth to a son named Samuel. And no preacher can resist sermons, Mother's Day sermons about Hannah and Samuel, the idea of her dedication of her son to the Lord, something that all Christian mothers do to one degree or another to their children, that they want them to grow and to honor God and to love Jesus and to be good servants as the Holy Spirit leads them. The testimony of the Psalms, we've sang in Psalm 119, the last, at the end there, verse 9, Psalm 127 and 128. We have the testimony in Luke chapter 1, both in regards to Elizabeth, who was advanced in years and had not been able to have any children, as well as the miraculous blessings of the Virgin Mary, who gave birth to the Lord Jesus Christ, of the blessings that are associated with the bearing of children. And then, in general, the physical fruit of the oneness of God-ordained marriage is through children, that the two shall become one flesh. What does that mean? And I've always preached that there are really three ideas in the statement and the promise in Genesis chapter 2, that the man shall leave his father and his mother and cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. We have that reflected in the lifelong companionship of a man and a woman in marriage. As long as they both shall live, we have an allusion to the intimacy of the bedroom within the oneness of a man and woman coming together. And thirdly, we have the oneness reflected in children, because each one of us are our parents in one flesh, the genetic makeup of our mothers and of our fathers together. And God has ordained it and set it up that way, and blessing comes when we do things as he has called us to do them and honor him. Also, preaching this Mother's Day sermon each year is a way in which we can emphasize biblical teaching amidst a culture that has many misconceptions about women in general and about mothers in particular. We live in a world and in a culture in our own land, which often many would say is a Christian nation, certainly had a lot of foundations on biblical principles, and many believers gave their lives to the furthering of the American nation, and yet we've reached a point where we belittle that which the scriptures exalts. That God says it is to be this way, and we say, no, we're going to do it our way. And the way that we treat women and demean women and all kinds of other things in our culture and the way we are treating the family, and in particular mothers, that somehow staying home and being an at-home mother is somehow not a real job, and things like that. It's an embarrassment, and it's something that God will hold our nation accountable for. And so we have this opportunity to remind the people of God and to remind others of God's word as it speaks to the family and as the foundation of society, and the importance of the family, which is being torn apart in our culture today. And then finally, reasons for this pastor's pastoral preaching practice is mothers deserve the honor that God says belongs to them. They care for the needs of their children, and among their children is one who bears the name husband. They labor to organize and operate homes of love, order, refreshment, security, and peace. That's something that we look and we see that even in the midst of sometimes chaotic, I just find that I don't know. I guess if Barbara's not here, I would invite any of you to come over, but I would say you're going to get what you get. And in terms of what we might have to eat, in terms of whether the dishes are done, I will tell you one thing. If Barbara's coming home on Wednesday, the dishes will be done Tuesday night. But they provide a home. They care for their children, they pray for their children, they chastise their children, encourage their children, fret about their children, support their children, sometimes frustrate their children, but always loving their children. And I think, like it or not, unless there's some something that might come where the Lord takes a mother too early in life, that the primary teacher of children is always going to be mom. Dad does his part, and schools do their part, teachers do their parts, but ultimately we kind of are molded in who we are by our mothers first and then others. And by God's design, he speaks of mothers as the image bearers of the church and the family. The church is the bride of Christ. And in a healthy family environment, both God is modeled properly and his church is modeled properly. And the relationship of the two is in the intimate, loving relationship is there. Now, sin often perverts and twists these things, and yet this is what God's word has to say. And motherhood is a blessing, and the responsibility of being parents belongs to mothers and to fathers. And so every time I speak of one in terms of things that we need to do for our children, I'm speaking of the other as well. And so, in concluding, applications. I got home last night and came up with Roman numeral 3A. And I don't know if I was just totally punch drunk or whatever it might have been from lack of sleep or whatever. But do you understand this? This pastor's perennial polling of papas and parents' progenies presumes the persistent, pursuant propagation of said pastoral preaching pieces. Okay. You know what I'm saying there? In other words, you're going to get another Mother's Day sermon if I'm here next year on Mother's Day. And I have polled, which means that papas and parents' progenies, you know what those are? All of our children are progenies, right? Yeah, progenies is a good thing, right? Okay, all right. Prodigal, maybe not so much, I'm not sure. We need regular reminders about things that are really important. And the family is at the very heart of the strength of the church. And we need to continue to promote and pray for and preach sermons to mothers and fathers and children that we might see the blessings of God upon us. That's what we sing about in Psalm 128, that if the blessings of God are upon the families of his people, then that will reflect positively on the blessing of God upon his people corporately. That's why Psalm 128 ends in peace be upon Israel. In other words, when peace is in the homes, peace will be in the church. So mothers, have a happy Mother's Day. Okay, happy Mother's Day. Okay. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for hearing our prayers, and we thank you for our mothers. Lord, some of us say that and with a lot more difficulty than others of us. Some of us say that with great joy. Whatever the case, Lord, you have, in your word, made it abundantly clear of how we are to deal with our parents. And that dealing is not just when we're children, but throughout our lives. What we read in Mark chapter 7, Jesus condemned the most religious of the religious Jews because they used your law not to honor their fathers and their mothers. And Lord, we pray that we not be caught up in that same situation, so that you will give us grace and peace, and that you will help us to understand the blessings of the family, that you will heal us where we need to be healed. Father, I pray that you will strengthen all of our families, that you will bless us, and that you will show the world as we deal with our parents and honor them, that it is because of our relationship to you in Christ. And we pray that you will call others to see the blessings in the Christian family, in the Christian home, because there are so many that don't have those blessings, Lord. I would ask us to pray for my brother-in-law, Don, who is there with his mom and will be going home tomorrow, and with his dad. And Lord, he has dealt with some deep-seated resentments toward his parents, and yet he's there, and I just pray that you will help him to be a great support to them at this time, as he is being, Lord. I just pray that this time with his mom, particularly if you're calling her to the grave sometime soon, that he will really be able to mend those fences while there and with his dad. And I pray for any others of us, Lord, that are struggling with these things, that you will help us as well. Lord, your word has made it very clear that you regard the family as being sacred, and that those who will tamper with it and deal frivolously with it will answer to you. So we pray that you will raise up leaders in our land who will be committed to the biblical teaching about the family and not all of this other wickedness that is prevailing in our land and in our newscasts and in our television programs and in our culture today. We pray that you will help us to honor our mothers as a testimony to the world around us that belittles motherhood so often. We pray for women who were expectant mothers but have aborted their children. That you will pour out your mercy on them and call them to faith. And to know that the love of Christ and your forgiveness can deal with even that terrible sin. We pray that you will help us who are fathers to lead in our homes as servants and not as masters. That you will help us to show your love to our children, not to exasperate them as the scripture says we are not to do, both as fathers but also as mothers. And we pray that as we do so, our children will grow up and will establish their own homes and families, which will give glory and honor to you because they will be founded on the gospel of your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ. And so, Father, we pray that you will pour out your blessings. And we pray that as you do so, that we will see those blessings from the cradle to the grave. That we will honor our parents even until you call them home. Father, we pray now that you will use us this week in whatever situations you put us to be salt and light. And we pray that as we have opportunity to speak for Jesus, we will not be silent. And as we have opportunity to show others the right thing to do, that we will not be paralyzed, but that we will give glory and honor to you through how we act and speak and think. For we ask all of these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll close with Psalm 34, Selection C. Sons and daughters, come give ear. So if you're a son or a daughter, and you all are, let's listen as we sing these words from Psalm 34. Let's stand and sing. We'll sing stanzas 6 and 7, and then stanza 8 after the blessing.
Secure, no broken one to be and
45.